Address by the Beloved Master Paul the Venetian. Introduction. Our love and gratitude extends to the beloved Venetian, Chohan of the Third Ray, in gratitude for his service to life in developing the consciousness of tolerance, understanding, tact, diplomacy without guile, and that gentle, kindly, impersonal love of life which gives encouragement and spiritual stimulus to the brothers and sisters walking the path back home. As he points the children of earth to the comfort of the secret place of the Most High within the heart, and asks all to throw the strength of their feelings into acceptance of that presence which abides within the heart flame, we ask that all who read these words accept his radiation and, concentrating on his feeling of the ever-presence of God, realize the truth which makes all free. For his service in sustaining the presence of beauty on the planet Earth, we thank him eternally. Thomas Prince. Preface by the Ascended Master Kuthumi. The third ray is the first expression of the Holy Spirit in the world of matter, and the remaining four rays complete this creative activity under the supervision and direction of our Lord the Maha Chohan. The first and second rays represent the fatherhood and sonship of God, which, when thoroughly assimilated, prepares the student or chela to enter consciously into the path of creative activity in accordance with the divine plan. The master, known as Paul the Venetian, is the Chohan in charge of the third ray of the Holy Spirit. It is his great service to translate the divine plan into physical expression. After the chela has mastered the silence, has become aware of the divine plan, which is freedom for the earth and all life evolving upon it, and has come to a realization of his own oneness with the father-mother principle of creation under the first and second rays, he is then prepared to draw that divine plan into manifestation from the higher world and become, instead of the listener, the doer. You are familiar with the symbol of the Holy Spirit, which is the hand. The hand signifies activity, the giving forth of energy. A conscious creative force flows through the hands to render physical service. Thus, the third ray is the first point of contact between the spiritual realm, where the divine plan stands completed, and the physical world, which is still the primal substance that must be molded after the divine pattern. This ray has not been stressed sufficiently in any avenue of learning, and yet it is one of the most valuable activities that can be assimilated by the life stream. One may learn and study for eternity, but until that knowledge has been applied, it is worthless. The Venetian has been referred to as the master of tact, diplomacy, and beauty, and thus has been looked upon as an idealistic form of aesthetic living rather than a practical, dynamic, and forceful expression of the divine mind in the world of form. Truly, tact and diplomacy are a part of the third ray man, because in converting the outer world's poor appearance into the divine plan, either in a locality or a nation, the more that can be accomplished through these qualities, rather than a bombastic shattering of existent form, the better. In a word, the divine plan, in order to be of any practical use, must be drawn into physical expression and molded into the substance of the earth plane, and it is through this great ray that the process of transmutation takes place. Students of the law have received limitless hints of the divine plan in regard to their personal lives, and I would advise them now to avail themselves of the opportunity under the direction of the great Venetian to translate their part of that plan into physical expression. Kuthumi. The Power of the Liberty Flame, Beloved Paul the Venetian's Address, October 3, 1953. My beloved brothers of light, my gentle sisters, I bring to you the greetings of the third ray and my own personal gratitude for your presence within this new endeavor. Do you know the distinguishing factor that has set you apart from every other worshiping group in your city? There is not one soul here who has come to receive a personal, separate blessing. You have all come to be illumined as to how you may better serve life. That is a beautiful thing, for the metaphysical and occult and spiritual channels are cluttered with precious life streams who are impelled by the problems created by the misuse of their own energy to find temporary surcease from agony of one kind or another. However, in this whole group, your shining, gentle, beautiful souls are one pointedly dedicated to receiving the light for light's sake, and you have fulfilled the statement, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its right useness, and then all things shall be added unto you." I commend you individually. I am called by the sons and daughters of heaven, in a jesting manner, my brother's keeper. For once long ago, when the question was asked, I within myself answered in the affirmative and said with deep, sincere feeling, "Yes, I am my brother's keeper." All through the long ages, I have remembered that inner vow, made to no man, but to the flame of God within my heart, and I have endeavored in my long service to the mankind of earth to remember always that the heart motif within my brother deserved at least the silence of myself, that I might understand, and hearing that heartbeat, respond in a manner to give freedom and assistance to the flame, endeavoring to pour through the soul and fulfill its divine plan. Have you heard the song of the unfed flame in the heart of your friends and associates, your family, your loved ones, your fellow workers in this magnificent cause? It is a beautiful thing to become still enough first to hear your own heartbeat, to feel the power within that unfed flame, to know it as the most magnificent, majestic, transcendent, triumphant, victorious power in the universe. In fact, the only power that can act or would act except for your dear misguided qualification. Beloved ones, within your heartbeat is the flame by which even your physical body is coalesced and sustained. It is the power that keeps the very atoms that make up your physical body from flying back into the unformed and seeking refuge in the light and happiness of the sun. It is the flame which gives intelligence to the consciousness by which you comprehend my words, and by which all of your senses, sight and hearing, and other senses function. It is the activity by which your physical body moves about and is enabled to remain erect, defying the gravity pull, which by all natural law would necessitate your lying prone on the ground. You have accepted those powers of the unfed flame. I implore you tonight, contemplate the power of that liberty flame within you and allow it to show you the magnetic pull that is within its heart. You know how difficult it is to dismember a human body because the very pull of the flame in the heart, which is so strong and powerful, fulfilling its own divine decree and fiat, holds those atoms in form until your own glorious God self at the close of your earth life says, "It is finished." When those words are spoken, then only does the flame release the elemental life and your spirit goes free, at least from a garment of flesh. My children, it is lovely to listen to the story of the powers of the sacred fire, but we want you to be free. We want you individually, O sweet and precious brothers and sisters, to accept in feeling the power that is within your heartbeat. Beloved Lord Maitreya suggested you place your hand upon your heart until you feel its beat, and then ask your own holy Christ self to give you the conviction that the Master Jesus had, and which is incorporated within the prayer which you have said life after life during this last 1900 years since his advent upon earth. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You all have burdens of one kind or another, karmic bonds built of your own conscious or unconscious misuse of energy. I see them. I see through the soiled garments of your flesh bodies, your etheric bodies, through the whirling, swirling mass of your emotional worlds that you know are seldom still, even while your physical bodies sleep. I ask you tonight, in faith, to place your burdens within the heart of this cosmic, unfed flame that is the pattern for the evening's activities, that has been drawn within this room through our personal endeavors during the past 24 hours, which rises now almost 700 feet above this building. If a flame no larger than a 16th of an inch in size can move a 6-foot man about, what do you think a 700-foot flame can do, energized by the power of the sacred fire, surrounded by the beautiful angels of ceremonial and music and beauty? Do you know how tightly you hold on to your individual problems? Do you know how dear they have become to you? Do you realize that when you place your burdens on the Lord, that the mind so quickly reverts to it again and seeks to pick it up? Oh, let us change that. If you did, there would be reason for the great world teacher, come from the heart of the universal, to draw us all together and in council say, Beloved sons and daughters of heaven, there are incarnate on earth certain life streams who have by their own virtue and the magnetic pull of the flame in their hearts signified a desire to know what you individually are doing in this universe. Then they may consciously cooperate, and they, in knowing, may apply to the proper department for assistance in regulating the world conditions in which they find themselves. Unless he had faith in your response, there would be no purpose in master after master coming and talking with you and bearing the little personal intimacies of life. They do this in order that you might see that each one is a being with feeling who has passed along the same road, who has felt the same pleasures and pains, who has known the same uncertainties and sureties until in some way we can stir you to do as we have done. Surely you understand that within your heart is a flame directed from your own holy Christ self and the builders of form. At the time of conception, the magnetic power within that flame was strong enough to draw the elemental light substance which made the flesh form in which you sit before me tonight. And the instant that flame is withdrawn, your physical body begins its return to the universal. That is the power of the liberty flame. In the beginning of time, long before the recording of human history by the faulty consciousness of man, the goddess of liberty herself brought the liberty flame to this earth, and right here on your present island of Manhattan was a great temple of the sun in which that flame was established. In those early ages, there was no veil over your sight, no stoppage to your ears, no whirling sea of emotional energy about you, and it was easy to see the light bodies of those great beings, the goddess of liberty, the Archangel Michael, the great Manus of the race, when the mankind of earth came to the Liberty Temple and learned how to expand that flame, triple in its activity, love, and wisdom, and power. Ages passed, cataclysms came and went. the North American continent sank for a time beneath the sea, and the guardians of the Liberty Flame carried it safely across the ocean into France. There it has abided, and at the close of my last earth life, when my own master and guru told me that I might have the joyous privilege of removing my consciousness and soul from the wheel of birth and death, I retired into the heart of the retreat which you honor now, and from there I entered my freedom. You see how dear that flame is to me. I rose upon it into my eternal perfection, and so one day will you, each one, and every man and woman and child who stands yet in the discarnate realm, waiting the opportunity for incarnation. Sometimes you don't feel it an opportunity after you are here. It is so easy to look at the vision and the plan of perfection when you are free in the light garments that you wear between embodiments. It is easy then to see Saint Germain's New Age and the glorious kingdom of angels and elementals and human beings loving and worshiping together. It is easy to desire and vow to be a part of that light which removes sickness and disease and death and disintegration and all other conditions of a like manifestation from the earth. But once your soul is fettered by a physical body, once your own sweet, unfed flame has magnetized and called about you the elemental substance which you qualified in your last earth life, and which must form your garment for the present, once you have encountered the difficulty of manipulating energy through a garment of flesh, oft-times the enthusiasm wanes. Yet do you know that for each one of you who received the opportunity to take a body, two were denied? Three people apply for every one incarnation. Why? Because through this veil of tears, as the Church has christened our sweet earth, mankind must pass in to his eternal victory, and all desire the opportunity in the freedom of the inner bodies to make things right. When you pass from this earth life, you see what you might have done, what might have been, and one of the greatest manifestations of hell is remorse. What might have been? Many is the soul Lord Michael has met. Many is the soul that has stood before the court of karma who has said, "Give me just one day to go back and make things right." But when that silver cord is severed, when your Christ self says, "Enough," when the Maha Chohan feels the investment of the energy from the sun into your life stream has been sufficient, and that nothing more can be accomplished, there is no going back. It is always forward. And that angel who stands at the door of the halls of karma, when the souls have had their individual judgment, which is not eternal, but just governs the past life, that angel who stands with hands outstretched and says, "Forward," that blessed one is not always too well liked by the souls of men. Yet forward must the soul proceed into the schoolrooms assigned, into the condition it has prepared in its earth life, and then when the call comes from the karmic board again, it may petition for a new opportunity to come back and make things right. And how is each one chosen? By possible service. Oh, my dear and blessed brothers and sisters, my desire to stimulate within you an interest in the work of Saint Germain is so intense because you vowed to serve him, and that is why the great goddess of liberty, as spokesman for the karmic council, said, "This one shall return, and these must remain. This one shall return, and these must remain." Again and again and again. How do I know? Because I stood there too. Every Chohan and every master who represents a group of disciples stands by when his own chosen group comes before the karmic board and are given an opportunity, and I tell you, there is a prayer in our hearts then, that opportunity may be woven through the energies of the life stream into work well done. In France, we have dedicated our lives to externalizing beauty. The complement of my life stream will one day be the goddess of beauty. But do you know what is the most beautiful thing in heaven? A pure, clean, white soul, a shining heart, a faithful spirit before which all other manifestations of beauty are dimmed. I await the day when every man and woman and child incarnate and those yet to be born become such beautiful lords of the flame, master presences by the power of love and light. In Shambhala is the unfed flame. I hear the question within your consciousness. I am very sensitive to your feelings. I know you well, for I have promised to be your keeper. Yes, in Shambhala abides the unfed flame, which is the balance of the cohesive power for the planet. But in France abides the unfed flame by which mankind, individually, may liberate their own God faculties and powers. And into this retreat are invited those willing to abide by the disciplines required to learn how to direct the light rays through that unfed flame, which is the mother activity of God. The mother love is the cohesive power, the drawing together, the holding of the body, of the home, of the family, and the great divine mother is expressed through Lord Maha Chohan, who in many religions is symbolized as the feminine activity. Our Lord Maha Chohan is, cosmically speaking, the guardian of your feeling world, which is the feminine side of your life. And this unfed flame is the power, scientifically, of centripetal force, the drawing together, the magnetizing activity. Do you see what that means to you in regard to precipitation? Oh, open yourselves to the power of your flame and draw around yourselves the angelic builders and those glorious elementals. Create out of the substance of your blessed minds beautiful forms and externalize them, and place within the arms of your own mother, your own unfed flame, your burdens. You remember as little children how comforting it was when the conditions of life became severe, when individuals seemingly were unkind, to rush into the arms of your mother. Later on in life, you sought surcease and happiness in the arms of others, but you never found the selfless love that you found in the arms of your own physical mother. Take now this flame. Let it expand for you, and let the plumes become arms of light. Take your hard feelings there, your struggles, your confusions. You know you have all sung that song. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to your flame, but do not rush away before accomplishment gives you peace. Oh, remain in the arms of your own glorious flame until the cause of your distress is melted away. I plead with you tonight. I am not among the most dynamic and forceful of the Brotherhood. I have dedicated my life to the encouragement of the talents that lie latent or active within the blessed life streams who endeavor to bring a little music, happiness, a little dancing, drama, prose, and poetry to a sad world, because that is beauty. I have dedicated my life to drawing aside the veil sufficiently to let the chosen few see beauty in sculpture and art. But the secret action and desire of my life I am disclosing only to you. It is dedicated to listening to the heartbeat of my brothers, hearing the music within the flame, hearing the hunger within the consciousness, and loving that flame sufficiently to draw it forth through the shroud of human creation and set it free. Many is the flame I have seen flickering within the altar of some despondent soul's heart. driven back into that airless cell by an unkind word or feeling. Sometimes after a setback of this kind, the soul can make no further effort towards spiritual development for hundreds of years. My ear is against the bosom of mankind. My arms are around the good brothers and the sweet sisters. My life flame is flowing into their own. I pledged the unfed flame a vow once, long ago, that I would be your keeper. Oh, not in a sense of imprisonment, but in the sense of kindly service, when you want me. None of us will ever intrude, but oh, how we do respond when invited. Now you have drawn a magnificent flame within this room. You have all contributed to it by your presence. Your own flaming heart has made it grow, as we have spoken. It has risen until it is well over 1,000 feet in height. And within it stand angels of beauty and ceremonial, angels of love and tolerance, angels of the Holy Comforter and mercy. And may I ask your indulgence in raising your voices again to pledge that unfed flame a vow aloud. Then at the close of it, I will ask your beloved leader to release those angels who shall go north and south and east and west, so that this class be not just localized, but cover the planet. Let us then cooperate, and each according to his own energy, pledge that flame within his own heart, first to fidelity, accepting its power. Linger no longer in limitation, distress, and depression, in the name of God, when this flame lives within your hearts. Pledge the flame in your brothers' and sisters' hearts, a vow also that you will listen to its voice, respond to its call, coax it forth, and set life free everywhere. I thank you for your indulgence. I thank you for the opportunity of entering this magnificent building, and I thank you for your presence. Paul.